Hello again and welcome to another broadcast of Deep Coffin and Deep. I'm your host, Jeremy Lopez, and one of the things I want to talk to you about for a little bit today is basically learning how to create your world, create your environment, create the things in which you want in your life. And so we're going to call this creating you and your life. And one of the things I have realized is if you look at Jesus, you look at all the things he did, all the teachings, the parables, the sayings, you know, everything that he did, everything he said, and the Bible mentions very plainly that he did what he heard his father tell him to do. You know, he only did what he saw his father, you know, tell him to do. And so he did it according to what he knew God wanted him to do. But here's the greatest thing that I love about the story of Jesus is Jesus knew it was his destiny. It was his life to do this. Jesus could have easily in his path walked away, could he not? He could have easily walked away from doing what God wanted him to do. He could have easily, you know, backhanded somebody who talked ugly to him. He could have easily walked away and even on the cross, you know, had his angels come and just say, I'm done with this. Rescue me. Let's get out of here. He could have done anything he wanted to do. But the greatest thing I love about the message of Jesus is he uniquely, fashionably did exactly what he wanted to create in the world to see a result and to see a revolution started. Now, if you think about it, we're led by the Spirit of God, but we forget at times that we are moved on by the Holy Spirit to inspire us, to bring all things back to our remembrance, to give us the unction that we need, to endow us with power that we need from on high. But the greatest thing I love about it is the Spirit of God leads us, but he doesn't tell us every detail of what to do. And the reason why, because as a co-creator in God, we forget the fact that we can go to God and we can beg, we can plead, we can ask, we can say, God, I need this, God, I need that. You know, bring to me this, bring to me that. We can get, you know, how many of you have gotten really angry before God? Or maybe you're just too religious for that. Maybe you've never, ever, ever questioned God. Many of us, like myself, we have. You know, we've questioned God in our lives and we said, God, why does this happen? You know, this didn't line up with this. Why would you allow this to happen? Because you know what? The Bible says come and reason with him. And therefore, speak your mind. He knows what you want to say anyway. So go ahead and share with him exactly your thoughts. Get it off your chest and share with him. So we've gone down that path, have we not? But so many times we have just beaten the air up to say, God, why? But we never stop to realize that God says, you have not because you ask not. In other words, you don't need to really quote-unquote look to everything around you to answer your questions for you. Let me answer your questions. Let me tell you the things that you need to know in this life. But here is your responsibility. It is your responsibility to take what I have given you in your spirit. And you might say, how many of you out there right now probably saying, but I don't know what he's given me. I don't know what that desire is. I don't know what I want to do. You know, being a life coach, I coach people every single day on this same subject, and that is, I don't know what I need to do. I have no clue what my hobbies are. I have no clue what I desire to do. What am I called to do? Here's the main thing that we have to remember, is God, you're waiting on God to drop something in your spirit to say, thus saith the Lord, here it is, go do this. And that's not how God works all the time. Does God work that way sometimes? Yes. But you know what? We have to remember every situation is different for every person. And knowing that, many of us, especially the majority of us in the body of Christ, we forget that God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You've heard me say that before. Which basically is saying this, I've already got the gifts in me. I don't have to ask God to give me a gift. I don't have to ask God to give me a talent. I don't have to ask God to give me anointing. Those things are already embedded in my spirit. And because they're already embedded in my spirit, that means I have all things. That means my gifts and my talents and everything in me has the ability and the capability and the power to answer and to do everything, to bring forth a solution to everything in creation that my foot's going to trot on. So knowing that, I have to remember it's my job to begin to go and do it like Jesus did. And that was to pave a unique path that only I can do. See, only Jesus could go to the cross, and only you can perform things you're called to perform, demonstrate things you're called to demonstrate, and pave a trail that has never been done before. And it doesn't mean that somebody else has to do it for you or is going to do it for you, because that's not the will of God. It's not going to be because God's going to come down and say in a dream, I'm going to plow the ground for you. You're going to walk this thing out that I'm going to do. God does not operate that way. What God does is God operates in the way of you being co-creator with Him, you being no longer a child tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Being a child represents this. It means that you are going to beg and plead and beg and plead and beg and plead. And I'm so frustrated. I could not begin to tell you how many people in life coaching I have spoken with that is almost feels as if they're constantly in a spiritual warfare, constantly in a battle, because they're constantly finding themselves saying, I don't know what it is. You know, there's always a demon attacking me. There's always something after me. I can't seem to get clarity from the Lord. What it is I'm supposed to do. Tell me detail. Tell me detail. And then they'll get with me in life coaching, and they'll demand basically that God tells me detail of their lives. And trust me, I've seen that many, many times in my life. But we forget God does not operate that way. We do not control God. We don't tell God what to do. We don't move in divination. But here's the way God plans it from the very beginning of time. And that is, Adam, you're called to demonstrate, to have dominion, authority upon planet Earth. In other words, brother, whatever you want to do, do it. Whatever it is in your spirit that you feel the unction and the power and the strength for to do it, whatever it motivates you to in whatever area, go and do it. And that's the place where we're called to do. Each one of you have already been given that. Well, I don't know what it is. Let me tell you something. Yes, you do. You know what motivates you. If you don't know what motivates you, if you don't know what makes you happy, if you don't know what entertains you, if you don't know what stirs up your joy, something is majorly wrong with you because of the fact that you should know in your spirit what movies you like. And this is where we start in life coaching. Okay, I'll give you some snippets here. And that is this. Okay, do you know what kind of movies you like and don't like? Well, absolutely. Why? Because you've seen a range of them. And you can tell me, I love that movie, don't like that movie, that movie has cussing in it, that movie was awesome, had a great meaning. You know what movies you like. You know the varieties of movies you liked. If I set you down and said, tell me what kind of movies you like, you would probably say, you know, I love romance movies, or I like sci-fi, or I like action, or I like scary, or I like this or that. You're going to tell me what you like from the categories of choices that you've either seen before or you've recognized before. So you have to learn in life. It's like food. How many of you would say, I love Mexican food, can't stand Italian, or love Italian, can't stand Asian, or whatever? Let me tell you something, folks. You know what you like in every category out there except for you perceive what it is you're called to do in your life. Bottom line is this, you do know it. You have the answer, which means it's already in you. You've already seen door number one, door number two, and door number three in your existence of the journey you've been on so far. Look back in the journey of your life. Look back at all the things you've experienced, from the good, the bad, the death times, the awakening times, from seeing people have babies. Maybe you've already had babies. Maybe you've had to bury your parents. Maybe you've had to, maybe you've went on a trip. Maybe you've been on a business trip before. Maybe you have gone to see a movie, you've eaten at restaurants, you've done this. You have lived a life so far on the journey that is spectacular. It is amazing. Every image your eye has ever been able to capture and put it within your subconscious brain. Did you realize that? Imagine the billions upon billions upon billions and billions of images that has been captivated by your eyes that your subconscious mind already has taken and put on the film of your imagination. And guess what? It is all there, folks. It's all embedded there. So don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Find yourself looking and saying, you know what? After I take a deep breath, I'm going to look at this and I'm going to analyze it and I'm going to say, huh, you know what? I do know what makes me happy. Because guess what? Nobody around you can ever, ever, ever tell you what makes you happy. Only you can determine what brings joy to your life. You know, I talked to so many people. I talked to one lady one time. I said, you know what? I said, what brings you pleasure? And she said, well, I love people. And I said, let me break it down for you. You love people when they have a smile on their face of something you've given them, you've done for them, you've made them laugh, whatever. It empowers you when you see someone else be empowered with an expression, a demonstration, or something by something you've done or given them. Correct? She said, oh, absolutely. She said, I just live on that for that, but I don't know what I'm called to do. And I said, there you go right there. There's your answer. See, most people don't realize. And so what we did is I talked to her. She actually became a life coach after that. Love to be able to empower people. I had another gentleman, actually, I did the same exact thing for, you know, because and very, very seldom do you have the two that are alike. And do you know, after that, do you know what he did? He actually opened up his own place. He went to work for a company for a while that actually fed the poor, did things, did this, did that, and then he opened up his own company to do the exact same thing by hands-on teaching, training, and feeding. And guess what? He's happy to this very day, and so so is she. So you have to look at your life and realize that I'm called to create my existence. What is it in my life that I like? And go do that. Whatever it is that's in your heart that you feel you need to do, don't look at it and say, well, it's never been done before. Maybe it hasn't been done before because God's waiting on you to do it. Maybe the fact of the matter that when you see things and you say, well, that's been abused. Maybe God's calling you to come forth and be able to bring the healthy part of that thing. You know, so many people out there say, well, you know what, there's tons of nurses. I don't want to study being a nurse because there come a dime a dozen. Let me tell you something, folks. If you are uniquely fashioned after His image and likeness, which you are, that means you could be the absolute best nurse that ever has been. And once you're incorporated within this great, powerful universe to do what you're called to do and to serve and to be where you're called to be and serve, guess what? You will make a huge difference. It doesn't matter if there's thousands of somebodies. It doesn't matter if there's millions of other people who do what you're wanting to do. It doesn't matter. What matters is, what is it that you love that drives you happy, and what is it your gifts are drawing you to? That's the place in life you've got to look at. And when you do, you'll begin to realize, you know what, the Holy Spirit was leading me the whole time. And then you begin to track those things to your life. And God says, you know, one thing I've realized in my own life is, God told me a long time ago, He says, I want you to create what it is that I've already embedded inside of you. Don't ask me for something that I've already given you. That's like saying, I want food. I'm hungry, God. And right before me is a table of food. And that's what we do many, many times, because you have a treasure in your earthen vessel, which means you have riches of glory, riches of God's presence, riches of gifts, riches of talents inside of your spirit. And you know how people say, well, I don't know about that. Let me tell you something. Remember this one statement that will help set you free. Jesus was Emmanuel before the cross, which means God with us. When Jesus came to earth, He was God with us. Because guess what? Literally, He was with them. He walked among them. He was made flesh and dwelt among them. But now, after the cross, He's no longer walking among us or around us or surrounding us. Jesus is actually living in us. He's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which means that Emmanuel, not that He's no longer named that, but He doesn't operate by that function anymore, because He's no longer Emmanuel with us. He is God inside of us now. He is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So His position changed. Hello. His position changed, which means your position must change as well. So knowing that, you've got to begin to go forward and realize, the thing that I used to do, I'm shifting out of that nature of doing that, and now I'm doing something else. Now I'm moving into some other arena and area that's never been done before. Do you need to know the details of it? No. But God is saying, go and create. Go and create the environment that you want within your life. Go and create what it is that draws you to a place of abundance. And abundance means joy and happiness and peace and money and laughter and all the above. And so when you begin to realize that you are in charge of your life, folks, you are, no one else. God, yes, absolutely. God is the head, you know, of your existence. Absolutely He is. We've settled that issue. Now here's the problem. We don't learn to move on from there. Okay? We don't learn to move on from there. It's okay to move on from there. Once you have established something, let me explain something to you in your life. What if you're building a home and you have poured the concrete for the foundation? Do you stay there? No. Listen to me now. Once the concrete has hardened, then it is your responsibility to build on that concrete and begin to put up the framework for the home, put up the walls, and then do you stop there? No. Then you know you have to build a roof. So guess what? It goes from glory to glory, from faith to faith, which means once you have established in your life, God is the head of my life, then guess what? Then move on from there. You can't stay there. So many people think, no, I got to stay there. No, you don't. God expects you to move on, because you're going from glory to glory. You don't stay at one level of glory, you go on. Which means it's time for you to look at the circumstances of your life to say, if He is the foundation of my life, He's not going to build the walls. Hello. He's not going to build the walls. He's not going to build the roof. It's my responsibility to build from the foundation in which my life is on. If He's the rock that you stand on, then start building on top of the rock. You don't stand on the rock and just stay there. You have to build on top of the rock, all right? Once you begin to understand He's the chief cornerstone of your life, then leave that post and realize He's going to guard that post. He's going to guard it, because that's where He's stationed to be in your life, because you set Him up there. Once that established and the concrete's hardened, move on and start building, because you've got to realize God will not create your world for you. He will not create what it is in your life that you're you're desiring, because he will give you the desires of your heart, but you have to offer up the desire and begin to build on it, strengthen it, and walk it out. The Bible says to work out your salvation, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means God says you have to do that. I'm not going to do that for you. You do it. It is your job to work out your salvation. I like to say walk it out. Walk out your salvation with fear and trembling, which doesn't mean you constantly just get saved, go to the altar every week. Once you've done that, leave that place and go on. You know, it's like in the Old Testament. They didn't sacrifice a lamb every moment of the day. They didn't stay at the altar. They sacrificed a lamb for the sins of the people, and then they moved on into the another time when they needed to do that. They moved on. Are you with me? And it's time for you to move on. Put away childish things, grow up into sonship, and move into that place of authority to say, I am taking charge of my life. No one else around me is, because my life is only going to be what I make it to be. If not, think of this way. Why, and really contemplate and meditate upon this. Why would God give us a brain to think? Why would God give us arms to move, legs to walk? Because he wants us to walk places. He wants us to pick up things, move things, shift things with our arms. And you know, he gave us a brain to think and think, how would that Rubik's Cube look if I did it this way? Would I get all the red on one side and all the blue on the other side? Yeah, that's it. He gave you a mind that is unfathomable. It is amazing what your mind can think and retain and hold. Why? Because he wanted you to be free in the area of the uniqueness and the image and likeness that he created you in, which is his image and likeness, for you to begin to build on that unique image that is in you of him. And when you begin to do that, you begin to realize that even right now in your life, there's no one that you can blame about how your life turned out except yourself. No one. You might say, I'm in this ugly divorce. Let me ask you a question. Your neighbor didn't marry your spouse, did you? Did they? No, you did. You know, I'm in bankruptcy because of, you know, this job situation I'm in. Well, let me hear. Here's a question. You have to remember, if you don't like your life, and please understand, I'm talking to you in love because I care for you. If you don't like how your life has turned out, change it. Alter your life. It takes one thought to say, I have the power to get another job. I have the power to leave this man or woman who's beating on me. I have the power and responsibility to take care of my own, and that means sometimes it requires me to walk away from things, invent things, create things, and think things. Everything in your life will come by a thought that comes to your brain. When you begin to be creative to say, I can't take any more, you know, pain and beating from my husband or my wife. If you're in a horrible abusive relationship, guess what? It is your responsibility to create the canvas and paint the canvas of your imagination of your existence to say, I want to paint a new picture, and go and paint that picture. And if you're not happy, say, I want a husband who's going to do this and that. I want a job that's going to pay me more money. I want this and that. Then go create it and go after it. It's corresponding action, which means you have to walk it out. You have to walk out your faith. Corresponding action behind faith, which is faith without works, is dead, which means you are required to walk it out. So today, ask yourself, are you happy? Ask yourself, do I like what I have in my life? Am I content to the place of such bliss and joy where everything in my life is so unspeakable and full of his glory? That's the place you want to be. If you cannot say that, then change and alter your life and make it. And see, some people might say, well, you can't make it all about you. You can't make it all about you. It's all about you. No, no, no. Listen to me now. Check this out. If your life is not what it should be, how many other lives do you think you'll change? Zero. If your life is blissful, happy, full of joy, you are moving in the things of God, you're prospering beyond measure, you know, you're doing good in your life, guess how many people you'll affect then? A lot. You know why? Because it's a known fact. Misery hangs out with misery, and joy hangs out with joy, which means if you're joyful, you're going to affect people's lives positive left and right. If you're miserable, you will have to seek out those who are miserable with you, that you can go back and forth to talk about how bad life is and whose life is worse. So you have to pick and choose today. You hold the power, folks. You hold this amazing, energetic power from the presence of God to say, what is it, son or daughter, that you want? What is it that you want in your life? and my Spirit will lead you to what it is you're after. My Spirit will guide you, the Bible says. My Spirit will give to you the desires of your heart, but you have to be able to know what it is you want. And once you get that, then as He leads you, you create. You know, when somebody leads you, if I'm going to the grocery store, for example, and somebody leads me, let's say, for example, I don't know how to get to the grocery store down the street. And so I call my sister and she says, not a big deal. I'll come over and get you, pick you up and take you there. Or are you off? You follow behind me in the car or we'll walk to the store. How many know when we get to the store, you know what she's going to do? She's going to say, all right, tell me when you're ready. Or, all right, here you go. I'm going to leave now. Or, all right, go and buy what you need. I'll wait for you in the car. Whatever the circumstance of how we got there, guess what? She's not going to say, okay, we're here now. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to buy everything that I think you need in your life. See, that's the problem with us. This is your aha moment here, folks. This is where we miss it. It's not the fact that God doesn't know anything. God knows everything. He's omniscient, omnipresent. But the thing is, He wants you to remember what you need and what you desire in your life, which means, if my sister takes me to the store and drops me off, she's going to tell me just that. She's going to say, awesome, here you go. Well, I'm glad I was able to get you to the grocery store. Have a good day. Call me later. Or I'll wait for you in the car. You know, I don't say, well, are you not going to go pick out everything I need? Well, what is it you need? I don't really know what I need. Well, how do you know you need to go to the store? I just felt like I need to go to the store. You know, or either give her a grocery list and say, now that we're here, go in and buy for me everything on this grocery list. Most of the time, she's probably going to say, I don't think so. You know, I love you, but you need to do this yourself. You forget at times that God wants us to go ahead and say, look, I'm going to lead you by my Spirit. And when I get there, here's what's going to happen. When you get to the place called there, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you, but I'm going to sort of stand back and say, all right, what is it you want? Go in there and get what you need. Go ahead and build what it is you want to build. Go ahead and create what you needed to create. See, that's the presence of God. God is so powerful and so loving and so amazing that He wants us to say, let me see what you can do with what I've already given you. And can I tell you something? So many of us are so busy praying in tongues and praying all the time and acting all religious, and we're not accomplishing anything in our lives. Let me ask you an honest question. Do you find yourself really pleasing before the Lord? You know what I would please God is do what He did. Go and blaze a trail that's never been blazed before. Go ahead and cut through the thicket of this life to bring light to places that are dark. Go ahead and do what you're called to do. In other words, what brings Him glory is when, like the very beginning of the broadcast, is when you look at the life of Jesus to say, Jesus had a choice and an option, but He decided to blaze a trail that would always stay for eternity, that every generation would remember the trail that He blazed. And guess what? He blazed a trail by saying, here's my goal. My goal is I'm going to go ahead and do good and heal all those sick and oppressed of the devil. I'm going to go about doing good here, folks. Okay? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go about doing good. Why? Because the system of that day did not remember what goodness was. And so He began to go about doing good, and He blazed a trail and to change the conscious mind of man. Listen to me now. Think of it this way. By doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, He changed the consciousness, and which is the mind of man, to rethink and say, actually, there is hope. I can do this. Wow, you know what? Look what He did. And that's why He says, greater work shall you do because I'm going to the Father. In other words, look, what you see me do, if you want to bring me glory, listen to me, folks. If you really want to bring me glory, then I'm going to give you the power that I did. It's going to be stronger in you to do more efficient and more abundantly and more multiplication and more whatever than what I did, because I'm going to go to the Father. And so greater works you shall do. So because of that, what brings God glory is when you begin to say, I'm tired of living the life I've been living in. I've been living in hell long enough. I choose to live in heaven. And I want to change my life by changing my thoughts, changing my world around, by changing my environment. You know, and when I do that, you begin to create whatever it is you need in your life to create. And then God begins to look and say, hey, did you realize you're changing the consciousness of man? You're changing the mindsets of man by what you're doing. People are watching you. People are hearing you. You'll be in places you never ever thought you would ever be. And God says, here you are, folks. Look what you did. You arrived. How did I arrive here? Because of that man or woman over there. blazed a trail and you came across their path and they said something that changed your world, just like Jesus did. Jesus walked in the path that he needed to walk in, and people saw that and they were changed by watching him, hearing him, and just basically being who he's called to be. And when you learn to be what you're called to be and do what you're called to do and create what you're called to create, imagine the people who will watch you and see and say, well, now that's one that demonstrates. I need to do that for myself. And so sometimes we have to put on our, you know, our big boy shoes, so to say, and walk out this thing as a son of God. And quit being a child, begging God, pleading God. Walk this thing out, folks, to be who you're called to be. Go and create. Take control of your own life and begin to remember, if you don't control your life, somebody else will begin to control you. And you will begin to heed to everybody, every wind of doctrine, every opinion of man, everybody that comes around. And I'm going to tell you something also. You'll be seeking after everybody around you that says, I think you should do this, I think you should do that, and you begin to do this and do that, and you're going to wake up one day finding all the thousands of things you did by the opinions of other people got you absolutely positively nowhere. So take charge today, folks. Create your world and watch God move on your behalf. Hey, let me also share this with you before we close. If you want more instruction as far as knowing what to do in your life, let me tell you something. I am a certified life coach. I begin to present things to people constantly in life coaching. I do so many life coaching sessions a week, and people are blessed, they're touched, and they're moved upon because I help pull out the very best of who they are that's embedded inside of them. I also like to incorporate prophecy within our sessions, and I like to be able to move and motivate. I pray for people, and we move into the vein in which that you need to target to get the challenge out of the way to get the solution that you need. So today, let's look up on identitynetwork.net, look under life coaching, and when you do, go ahead and process what you need to process. I do 30 minutes or hourly sessions, and once you do that, then my staff will contact you, we'll set it up by the phone, and guess what? I guarantee you, you'll have an experience within the session. So that's going to be awesome. The other thing is, please go to the website and maybe consider getting the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. The number one thing that's a problem with most people today, and everybody actually, is their thoughts. You live your life by what you think. Think of it this way. You live your life by what you think. You might say to yourself, because maybe you might feel all religious at one point, you know, right now, and say, oh no, I live by what the Lord showed me. No, listen to me now. You live by the perception of the thoughts in your brain that you perceive either God told you, or maybe, you know, how many of you got a prophetic word before, or you've been ministered to, and your mind will automatically download it, but your mind will download it the way that you feel you that will be comfortable for you, that you would like to hear it, you know, said this way or that way. People do it all the time, folks, and it doesn't make it right, but we're human beings. Things have to be filtered through our conscious mind whenever we get it from the Lord. And so I say that to say this: let's change your thoughts. In the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination, I teach people how to change their thoughts, because your life will not change. I don't care how many times you've been prayed over, how many demons come out of you, it doesn't matter. Your life will not be changed until you learn to change your mentality and change your thoughts. Your perception rules your life. So how you perceive things, that will begin to be projected, and you'll walk it out that way. So if you want your life changed, then go get the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. I promise you it'll change your life. If you need anything, if you want to order the school or set up a life coaching session, call me here at the office. My staff will be glad to help you. 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. God bless. We'll talk to you soon.